Welcome to the Create a Life You Love podcast. I'm your host, Chantel Cox. My purpose is to empower and lift up others who know in their heart they're meant for more. More joy, more impact, and more passion. If you're ready to make a radical transformation and create a life that you love, then you have come to the right place. Let's do this. Hello, everybody. Welcome to today's episode of the Create a Life You Love podcast, where I connect with people from around the world to share tips and strategies to assist you on your journey. So I'm your host, Chantel. And for those of you that don't know me, I'm an author and transformation coach who empowers motivated professional women who are ready to break free from the bondage of daily stress and anxiety so that you can step into your full potential and create a life that you love. So I am so excited to be here today with Kay Gruner. Why do I always
Gruner? Yeah, you Gruner. Got it. That was right.
I'm always like, be sure to ask them how to pronounce their name. And then I hit record and I just dive in. So Kay is
perfect.
Kay is a business and intellectual property lawyer here to share simple tips for you to pursue your dreams in business, whether that's full-time or as a side hustle, so that you can create a life and job that you love. So, hey, Kay, welcome. How are you today?
Thank you. I'm doing well. I'm so happy to be here to share this information with your community. I think it's like very fitting to create a life you love is to pursue that in terms of potentially starting a new business, which always makes people really excited.
I agree. It is a very exciting topic. And I think it's applicable in creating a life you love no matter what, but especially right now with everything going on with COVID and whatnot. I just think there's more people that are open to that idea. They maybe have more time on their hands, or there's a loss of income. And so they're just trying new things and they're just open to new possibilities.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. Absolutely. And what I find is when I'm meeting someone for the first time, or, you know, as I get to know someone, there always comes a point where, as we're talking, like some idea comes out where they, you know, they've got their standard job, their 9-to-5, or maybe they're a full-time parent or whatever it is. And then that little bit of information comes out where they're like, oh, but I actually love doing this. And then that's where they light up and they get excited. But in times like these, as you mentioned, it's like there's no better opportunity to like go for it rather than just thinking, well, maybe one day, you know, I love to knit or I love to cook or I have an invention idea. Maybe one day I'll do that. Now is like better time than ever to actually give it a go.
Absolutely. I love it. So before we really dive in, I love for people to kind of get to know you as a person. So kind of share with us like where you're joining us from and maybe some of your just outside of business fun things about you.
Sure, of course. So my name is Kay. As you mentioned, I'm joining you from Atlanta, Georgia. So I'm currently a peach and I've been living here for about 6 years, but I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio. So I'm a Midwest gal at heart. Some of the things that I love, my go-to outlet is running. So I really love to exercise, and my goals in life often revolve around like maybe running a race this year or something, exercising more, like that kind of thing, because it's one of those, like, you know, speaking of creating a life you love, like it just gives you endorphins and it makes you feel happy. So running is one of my favorite things to do. And let's see, what I've got, an English bulldog. This is up there. I don't know. Aww. If you can see a picture. We've had two. This is actually our former English bulldog. She's passed away, but we have another one. So those are a couple things that I love.
That's awesome. I love it. And did you paint that, or how did the painting come to be?
Yeah. So actually a friend had it commissioned for us, because this bulldog, she reached her time and she passed away. And I was at, it was, well, 13 months ago, because I was pregnant with my baby. And she passed away. So it was like this very chaotic time. I was 9 months pregnant, and when she actually did pass away, my husband wasn't home. So it was like so stressful. And then in the mail came this beautiful gift, and it was like a nice celebration of her life. So she had someone paint it for us.
Oh, what a great gift. You have a good
friend.
It
was so sweet. Yeah, I know. She's great. Thanks, Lindsay.
Aw, I love it. I love it. Okay, so you are a runner, you're a mom, you're a lawyer, and then you also have a book and a podcast, right?
Yes, yes. That's Startup Heart Up is the name of the podcast, and then the book is called Idea to Launch. I have it right here. It's essentially a workbook. So it's like an interactive fill in the blank place to keep and organize your ideas for taking your idea for a new business to the stage of launch. And it walks through all the steps. And it's very like interactive from sort of a business and lawyer perspective.
That's amazing. You are one busy gal.
Yeah, especially now with the daycares closed. Ugh. It's like morning until night. There's like no shortage of things to do. So never a dull moment. That's what I'll say.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm so glad that you were able to carve out some time to come join us here this evening. So let's dig in. I know you have some great tips to help others create a life and a business that they love.
Yeah. So I want to talk to people today a little bit about how they can contribute to, as they're building the life that they love in so many ways, considering the option of monetizing their passion, whether it's like a crafty skill, it could be something along the lines of knitting. So for example, I'm a knitter. I don't sell my pieces, but I've seen just the most amazing things. Think like Etsy style. So that's one form of a passion that you can end up actually selling your work. But then there's also if you come up with an idea for a business, and it's not passion in the traditional sense of, oh, I have this artistic ability, this or that. But when you start to talk to someone about their idea that they have, that they can't stop thinking about, they're like obsessed with it. I think that's, that is like the definition of passion. So those are a couple of examples of how you can do it. And I think in most cases, and really the individual that I made the workbook for is someone who either already has a full-time job or is super busy being a parent or whatever the case may be, and they don't have a lot of time to figure out what are the steps of starting a new business. And then there's always a fear of taking that leap because you don't know how to be successful or whether you'll be successful. And a lot of people, that's where they stop, right? They like dream and then only dream and don't take action. So I want to offer some tips and advice for how to start taking action that can increase your results of success if you do decide to take that business. And then I want to say, like, I'm your cheerleader. I believe in you. This is what I like to say to anybody on the receiving end of this. I believe that you can be successful as an entrepreneur, even if I don't know you personally, and even if I don't know what your business idea is, because there's kind of a framework that you can follow. And if you're paying attention and being mindful and, taking the right steps, then it will lead to success, but it requires effort and discipline and, things like that. So in general, I want to talk about how to identify and organize your ideas and to choose which one is the most likely to succeed. And if you're willing to balance multiple, even multiple ideas there. And so for me, step one is writing down your ideas. And of course, I have this workbook, but it could be a journal. It can be, I don't know if there's anyone out there who's kind of like journal addicts, like you go into Barnes & Noble and you go to that section with like the beautiful gold foil pages. And like, I love a good planner and a good journal, and I have too many of them. But starting to actually write things down will do a couple of things. One, it will help you actually flesh out your idea because, that kind of eureka moment that people have when they think of maybe a new product or a new service, it's just a feeling. It's a gut feeling. And there's this saying to trust but verify, meaning like, okay, if you have a great feeling about it, that's definitely a good bit of fuel, but you need to then look into it and see, what is the actual market look like? And a Google search can give you answers to that, So make sure you're doing your actual homework and organizing your ideas. And as you're doing that, I also want to emphasize that it's important to focus on the ideas that are giving you joy. And I'm saying like joy in your bones, right? Like you're smiling ear to ear, your heart starts racing when you start talking about it and thinking about it. And just an example of what would be the opposite of that, I've seen people exploring things like, and you know, I'm not going to hate on Bitcoin. I thought it was an exciting thing, but you know, Bitcoin or like, oh, this new industry has a lot of money. Like there's tons of potential. If you're seeking money, then I think when times get tough in terms of building a business, like you start to realize, oh gosh, I'm a solopreneur. I'm doing everything. I'm wearing every hat in the business. It's so easy to just give up. But when you're seeking something that gives you that like butterfly feeling in your stomach, you're not going to give up as easy. So I think that, yeah, the joy really leads to like the perseverance in, you know, seeing it in the, through the long run, the building of your business. So one reason why it's important to follow and focus on the business idea that actually gives you the most joy is a couple. There's research that shows that when individuals are happy and feeling like positive while they're working, that they're more creative, they're better at solving problems, and they're more effective with collaboration. So, and these are just a few examples of how you're actually like more likely to succeed and like build a good product and build a good, strong business when you're enjoying it. So that, you know, lends itself as in addition to the fact that you will be seeking something that actually makes you feel happy. So there's a little bit of science behind it as well. So when you are considering an idea for a new business, and you're not sure which one to go with, I think that something that you can do if you're just totally stuck and you're like exploring that option. Hold on. Here. Okay. Yeah. So when you're trying to figure it out and you just don't know, write down like your top five. Keep it simple, but maybe your top five hobbies or things that you just really enjoy. And so just an example, like exercise or baking or fashion, you know, it could be as broad as you want, but try to figure out what it is that is like making you happy day to day. And then make a list of kind of like your core professional abilities and traits. So that could be anything from sales to marketing to numbers to management to legal, you know, whatever it is, there's a number of different skills. Because if you are going to start a new business and you're going to be running it, you need to be able to do some aspect of the business. If not, a few would really be, you know, solid. So then when you've got your list of what you love and what you enjoy, and then also like what you're professionally good at, brainstorm and start again writing down how those can sort of intersect. So in what way? Say you are like baking, you could start a blog, for example, and you're a good writer, or you're good at presenting, for example, you could make videos on YouTube. It's almost like the possibilities are endless. And then of course, if you do have an idea that's more like, okay, I have this focused idea, I'm going to create a new business. Think of like the person who created Uber or like that kind of driving service. You know, they weren't sitting around thinking like, oh man, I really love like taxis. Like I love transportation. They just had this great idea. So that, I mean, that it can be that way as well. But whatever it is that you end up focusing on, something that really like gives you that gut feeling of joy, at that point then you can start like getting serious about building the business. So building the business then to start, so for example, in the workbook, the first three milestones that you'll reach are mindful ideation, which you've kind of been working on already, you know, going through the steps I've described, but then you'll go into actual market research and create a list of all of the competitors in that space. You have to understand what is the industry, who's already in it, who are the customers, what are they buying, what are they paying, and like paint a broad picture and understand whether there's not necessarily room, but whether there's market potential, like in a bigger sense, like whether is the market growing? You know, there's some industries that are actually going, you know, down. You may not want to jump into those for your first new business. But if you see an industry with a lot of growth, one example, I actually know I got looped into a network here in Atlanta of actually a bunch of vegan chefs and bakers. And I would say that veganism is like one of those things that actually is growing. And you could do anything from creating a meal kit to having a recipe blog to having, you know, instructional videos to opening a restaurant. You know, there's any like wide variety. So market research, and then the third of this like sort of triad of initial milestones for vetting your business idea is product development. And just basically as an overview, that would include one, jumping in and starting to actually design what your product would look like. And this is where people need to get crafty. And the example I'll give you is this. So you mentioned I have a podcast as well. And I just interviewed an inventor who invented, it's actually a mom who was breastfeeding and was struggling with the existing pillows for feeding her infant. And it just, the angles weren't right. And the baby's like spine was kind of bending and there was all these issues. She ended up just not using them. And then she had this aha moment and decided to take some foam and literally started like gluing it together. It was, you know, foam from like something that was lying around the house, and cutting it and shaping it and getting it into like the right contour. And she made multiple versions and prototypes at home using like Play-Doh and, you know, supplies that were cheap before finally going to a manufacturer. But by the time she went to manufacturer, because to the point of people being afraid to start a new business, it's expensive, right? Like to actually pay manufacturer to make something like that, you're investing a lot. So you have to put in this initial effort. So she took her makeshift versions and went to her friends in the neighborhood that had babies and asked them to try it. And they did, and they gave her feedback. And she actually had her cousin and his husband, two males. So she said, oh, her quote was so good. It was like two men and, you know, not a breast between them. So they were bottle feeding. But they gave her this critical feedback in this prototype development about beveling the edges so that it didn't like, so that it was comfortable for them. But she ended up making this product. It's called the Baby Boost, by the way. If anybody knows a mom that's breastfeeding or parents that have a baby, it's B-E-B-E Boost. But I mean, her story is just like a perfect example of how you just need to get crafty, start making samples and like examples and send them to people and ask them to give you feedback. And then you incorporate the feedback. So the market research and product development are kind of this cycle. And once you get to like your product that's, you know, the first version 1.0, but that's actually ready to go out and, you know, be sold, at that point, then you're also jumping into other stages, which unless you think I should, I won't go into all of it. But these are the steps to get somebody the confidence that, okay, this actually could work. I could do this. I could be successful because they've looked into it with like a very mindful process.
I love it. And so do you, so you gave an amazing example of like an actual like concrete product. Do you work with people or do these same steps still apply if it's like an online business? So
like, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm so glad you asked that because I actually, when I talk about products, either in my podcast or in the workbook or anywhere else, any other platforms, I always say that a product doesn't have to be like a physical product. It could be a digital product. It could be a service offering. At the end of the day, the framework can still apply. So as like an online-based business, say you are a business coach or a health and wellness coach, something like that, an example of product development, well, I'll go in order. Market research would be really the same, right? You're going on Google, you're looking into this industry. Say actually your focus, your niche is like a vegan, you know, healthy lifestyle coach kind of thing, right? So you're not actually cooking necessarily, or maybe you're good at that too, but like you're trying to transmit the information and serve people directly. You can then go and develop your products in terms of, okay, I'm going to have three tiers. The first package is going to include this. The second package is going to have an add-on of this. Maybe, you know, the third, the deluxe package actually combines the digital service with like a book, a cookbook as well that gets shipped to them. or like, a, you know, some sort of one-on-one calls. So you can really test the, do the same model where you're like developing your initial offering, providing people, and, you know, in the very early stages, a lot of times you have to do it for free. And it, like, there's no, not just, is there no shame in it? You are receiving value by talking to actual customers and people who can then give you feedback. And, as an example of that, like you can go on to any, let's see, what Facebook is a great place, Reddit, there's like forums where people are already, and by people, I mean your potential customers, already talking about the issues that you think that you can help them solve. So you do a little bit of social listening, meaning like you go and you watch the conversations, you see what they're saying, what are they asking each other about, and then even better, you start participating and engaging, and then you find someone who would be an ideal client and say, hey, I can offer you this service. I'm beta testing it right now. I'll give you, you know, 3 one-on-one calls for free if you fill out this survey at the end and give me a testimonial. And like, boom, at the same time, you're like building your marketing plan as well. So sorry if that was a long answer, but you can totally apply the like cycle of market research and product development across any type of product you're offering.
I love it. So far you've kind of covered that you want to identify and organize your ideas by writing them down and then go through those 3 steps of like mindful ideation, market research, and product development. And I love that you talk about really focusing on the ones that give you the most joy and excitement. Because I know as I'm building my side business, this right here, what we're doing, and partnered with my coaching and my book and everything. But, you know, I work a full 9-to-5 job. And then my evenings and my weekends, I do this. And my family and friends are like, are you insane? Like, just take it easy. Like, what are you doing? And I'm like, but it lights me up. Like, it doesn't feel like work. I just love it.
Same. And this is also a side hustle for me. When you were most available, like in the evenings, like you mentioned, or on weekends, I'm like, great, me too. Because I also work full time. And it's the kind of thing where prior to focusing on this, I don't know if you have the same experience, but you know, maybe I would have spent more free time like watching Netflix or doing something. But now I'm like, no, this is fun. Like I love working on my business and putting together the workbook to actually see it in like this physical form. And it's like a real book. I mean, it is like one of the most fulfilling things to get to the end, because this is the end of my product development, right? Like I made it, but along the way, I was printing out like literally from a printer and folding it and stapling with a stapler. My first draft, that was my first prototype. And I mean, I was spending like, you know, evenings working on it. Like, this is a blast. I love this. So it keeps you going. It's like fuel, you know?
Absolutely. I love it. So yes, I love that you hit on there. Cause that is so important. And then so once you're kind of there, what would be the next steps?
Yeah. So the next steps after that are essentially you're building your, well, let me say there's 3 like main pillars to getting an idea off the ground and like into the marketplace. And those are essentially product development, market research / marketing, because kind of along the way, you're like learning who your customer is and how you need to speak to them and what you need to say. And then there's like the formalities, so legal things. So the next step that I jump into is sort of part of the marketing strategy, but I call it pitch perfection. And this is where you are practicing not only your elevator pitch in terms of sales, you need to understand like what is your value proposition to which will fall on the ears of somebody who might buy it, right? But you also need to practice your pitch for publicity purposes. So who are going to be your strategic partners? And along the way, when you're doing that market research and you're creating your big list of the players in the market that are like already out there selling similar products, you really want to hone in on those that are selling like a complementary product, something that you could imagine recommending to your customers to buy, because it doesn't directly compete. It actually is more of like
you could sell it as a package deal, you know? Those are like the golden opportunity for strategic partners. And then if they are an established business, if they make it to that list, they probably are, they've got an audience that you can then use, but to both advantage, you know, like it has to be something that would serve both audiences. So practicing your pitch to them is, you know, I could just reach right out to like Amy Porterfield or Jenna Kutcher, or, you know, someone. But if I haven't like thought about what I'm going to say or created this like offer or a pitch that is going to speak to them, then you're, you know, kind of wasting your time doing it. I have not reached out to either of them one day, right? But oh, that's what I mean. Yeah, right? Like, once you are, so you're not, it's not just practicing your pitches, but it's like writing them out and like really strategizing how you're going to present your offer or your company or your partnership idea, whatever it is. So that's pitch perfection. And then when it comes to kind of like the legal side of things, I have two categories. One is intellectual property. As you mentioned, I'm an IP attorney, so I can't help but think about it a little bit. There's two main areas of concern for someone starting a new business. Number one, do you have IP or will you have IP that you want to protect? And then number two, is there other IP that you need to respect? So as an example, there are lots of people, and I'm all about video. We're on video now. Like it's a really great platform, but you will see videos on YouTube being taken down after someone has used it to build their business and their audience. And it's taken down because they use music that was copyrighted. And if they don't have permission, like at that point, your work is lost. You might actually owe money. So you don't want to infringe on others' IP. And then for your own, if you do anything around like design or artistic, like that kind of thing would be copyrightable, or writing, like you've written a book, that's copyrightable. And for something like that, you don't even actually have to register it. You can just put the notice at the bottom. Once it's complete, you might want to register because it's only like $35 last time I checked. And then there's trademarks. So one thing that I see is somebody will get really excited about their business name. And I understand because I also get really excited about like, you know, naming products and businesses. But if you don't do a search, meaning Google search plus the USPTO, which is US Patent and Trademark Office, has a search function. If you start like printing out your labels and trying to do all this stuff, and then you realize somebody has the very same name, like you're probably going to be the one that's going to need to change your name if they're already an established business. So that's just some things to consider for IP. And then with legal, there's formalities that vary like state to state, registering your business. At its core, you're trying to protect your assets. So if you're starting a business in an area that's like kind of a dangerous like activity, say you want to start teaching skydiving, you know, you have to like really look into what are the requirements for that, because you would be held liable. You want to make sure you have like business insurance. And if you're making food products, you have to abide by certain regulations by state, FDA. You have to, you know, use a commercial kitchen in a lot of cases, like that kind of thing, legal compliance, and then contracts. And then the fun stuff. That's, I find the legal things to be fun as a lawyer, but the real fun stuff is then brand creation and marketing. So those are like the main steps: mindful ideation, market research, product development, pitch perfection, and then IP, legal, brand creation, marketing, and then launch. So idea to launch. So those are the main milestones. And as far as like branding and marketing goes, it is, there's an abundance of awesome information out there. Like you're familiar with Amy Porterfield. Oh my gosh, like she's a genius. But yeah, at that point, you've already done so much work and it's like, okay, now let's get this beautiful thing into people's hands.
Absolutely. Yes. And when you are featured on Amy Porterfield's podcast, I will be, I can see it. Yeah, just come to me for me.
I will. Like, I will. I
listen religiously to both of those ladies. So I'll be like, I know. Okay.
Yeah. Well, we both will. Whichever one is on first can plug the other.
There we go. There we go. We'll be like, I know the other perfect guest that you need to have.
Exactly. Exactly. Dream big. Dream big. I'm all about it. Like, I know that I think that this is what really gets me excited about creating a life you love via building your own business, is because it's something that you own. It's something that at the end of the day, like, you can take it in whatever direction you want and you get what you put in. And if you put a lot of work into it, you can get, you know, like, blossom this beautiful business.
Absolutely. So, I have to ask, what, 'cause you mentioned it. So can you break down in kind of like overview form of difference between like copyright and trademark?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So a trademark and a copyright, actually I'll use an example where both can apply to one thing. So say the Idea to Launch workbook, I think it's the best example because it's like clearly copyrightable because it's text. So the entire contents are all copyrightable. The cover art, copyrightable. Any element that is like a creative work is what it's called. That is an original creative work, meaning that like I put it together, is something that would be copyrightable. The trademark in the situation would be Startup Hardup, which is the name of the company. The purpose of a trademark, this is a key difference between the two, is like the function. The purpose of a trademark is actually to protect consumers. So consumers, what we're protecting them from is being confused between brands, source. So, you know, when there's talk of like counterfeiting and that sort of thing, if I go to the store and buy a shoe that has like a Nike swoosh on it, that's telling me it's a certain quality, it comes from a certain company, maybe, you know, there's certain things about it, like reputation, that I just like would want. And that's why Nike is allowed to have like a claim over the use of that mark, because they filed their registration. So the word Nike would be a trademark. The swoosh would be a trademark. But the shoe, this is interesting. I wonder, maybe the design of the shoe, the colors, like, you know, the more the artistic elements of it, that's what would be copyrightable.
Interesting. I just always wondered, and I'm in a program where it is trademarked, and she's very explicit with, you know, now that's trademark material. And we're like, we know, we know. And then I was like, does my material need to be trademarked? What does that even mean? So,
yeah, anything that is like written, drawn, painted, like video, audio, your podcast, like so much is actually copyrightable. And it's, I think that creative maybe is the best like distinction between it. Although I do understand that a logo can be creative, but other than that, the trademark is really just like brand name. 'Cause it's supposed to identify who's the company behind this.
Gotcha.
Or the person, but in most cases it's like a business.
Yeah, I love it. Thank you so much.
Sure.
For breaking that down for me. And hopefully somebody else in the audience had a similar question along their journey. I find, like, as you've noticed, as I'm looking down, I'm not being rude. I'm frantically taking notes because I learned so much during these as well.
So good.
So I'm looking over at the chat and Jackie's shared a couple things. She says, great info on naming your business. Thanks. And then she said, dream big, put it on your vision board. I love it.
Yes. So good. Okay. So I actually just started very much into like a vision board type of activity. And I spent like my whole life, actually continue to spend time like cutting word, motivational words out of magazines and things like that. And I just like save them in this box and I love it. And I don't have it in the Idea to Launch, but I did make this, I'm calling it Hustle with Heart for now, but it's a marketing and content strategy calendar. And I've got a page in here called a brand vision board.
Ooh.
And it's just a blank page to basically like color on or like put your, you know, cutouts from magazines and that sort of thing. So I'm not artistic, but I like using that kind of material to like create a pretty picture too. And an image, like a brand image.
She says, let's see. I do not know this information about the reason for the trademark. Anything personally designed is copyrightable? ?
Yeah. So anything that is an original creative work, it's like a very broad definition for copyright. And so what's interesting, where the overlap would be, is say that I am a graphic designer and I created a logo or a script, like a new font, something like that. That would be copyrightable. But if I then submit that as like, this is going to be my business name or my business logo, at that point you can trademark it. So it would actually be both in that case. But in most cases, when a business owner is trying to figure out what's trademark and what's copyright, it's like their business name is trademark. And if they have a product that has a name, you know, sometimes products have like Spanx, for example. I'm like a big Sarah Blakely fan. She has a bra called Bralleluyah, and that is like trademarked. She has a trademark registration at the USPTO. So yeah, but then the pattern on the bra, like that kind of stuff would be copyrightable. There's some overlap though.
Does that all make sense? Does that answer your question, Jackie? Yes. Awesome. And then she also gave us the advice of speaking on the podcast that we want to be on. We got to put those on our vision boards.
Ah, yes. Oh, I love that. That is so good. Yeah, absolutely.
Jackie has a whole 90-day program on like kind of doing your vision boards. And she's going to be a guest here in a few days, weeks. I can't keep them all straight, but she's an upcoming guest on the podcast.
Oh, awesome. I will definitely be there for that one. So good.
Super exciting. Okay. So anything else you gave the tips and then you kind of summarized the tips. Is there anything else on that? And then we'll kind of dive into how people can connect with you and get their hands on those beautiful books you've been sharing.
Sure. Yeah. So overall, like what I want to convey is that I think that anyone who has an idea that's like, you know, in the back of their head, maybe it just occurred to them or they've like been thinking about it for years, to not be afraid to go for it. And that you can go for it as long as you have certain steps that you're taking that are mindful and strategic. And, you know, while brainstorming, the act of brainstorming can be fun if you're just like throwing out ideas. If you're serious about starting a business, at that point you need to start like, okay, I'm going to follow a framework. That way, when I get to a certain point where maybe there's a hiccup or, you know, I do some market research and as it turns out, like meal kits are on the way out, what can I do instead? But like still in the area of what I'm interested in, you can pivot and you can be mindful. I think like mindfulness and strategy is really the heart of what I want to like, you know, give out to the world is that you can do it. Just make sure that you're like being mindful. And go for it also, because like I very much believe in the power of like following your dreams and, you know, turning what you love into a business.
I love it. Yes. I love just the advice of taking action and not expecting perfection right away. I mean, even this today is a perfect example. Like we were talking before people joined us of, well, technology, Zoom doesn't want to connect right. with Facebook again. Some days it doesn't. We just make it happen. We're taking action and not expecting perfection. And all these beautiful ladies still showed up and are learning alongside us. And so it's a beautiful thing. Okay. So I know everybody that is hearing this now or listens in on the replay on whatever platform is going to be like, okay, how do I get these books? Where do I connect with Kay?
Yes. Okay. So a couple places. I do have a website, startupheartup.com. And that name came from this phrase that I don't know if I read it or heard it or if it just like came out of my heart, but it was start up with your heart up because I just very like heart focused. And that's so startupheartup.com. I want to note that there is a blog on there. If you go to startupartup.com/blog, and it may actually be a good reference for some of the questions that people had today. And if somebody's watching later, I do have an entry specifically on what are the different types of intellectual property? What's the difference? Which one do I have? It goes through all of them. And then I also have a blog post on key questions to ask about IP if you're a small business owner, and there's some other lovely blogs on there, but kind of along these topics. And then there is just a products page, startupartup.com/products, and that's where you can get the workbook. I also have an Instagram page where I'm active enough. That's at Startup Heartup. I try to post daily and do a couple lives a week. So there's a couple places you can reach me, and you can always email me to hello@startupheartup.com. You had mentioned freebie. I do have a freebie, which is a simple business plan template. It is a 2-page bird's eye view of the business as a whole. And that's at startupheartup.com/businessplan. And it also includes an idea to launch checklist, which goes through like actual, you know, you would check the boxes when you do certain things for starting your business. So if someone's interested, if you're feeling inspired and are like, all right, I'm ready to take this seriously, I am going to try to build this business, go and download that because it's free and it's not overwhelming, which is my goal. Like there's too much information out there. Sometimes it's not curated enough. So I like to keep it simple.
Love it. Yes. Thank you. Pop up in the chat. She said, I got on late. Did you mention a place to get your name trademarked? Thank you, Janelle, for helping me with that.
Sure. Well, it depends. So I wouldn't necessarily recommend like a LegalZoom.com or the kind of place where you don't actually get a one-on-one attorney, but you do have a couple options. One is you can file it yourself. You don't have to be an attorney to file your trademark application. If you do hire a trademark lawyer, it can be, I would say, at a minimum $1,000, if not $2,000 to $3,000, which for a little bit of reference, the cost of filing, like the filing fee is closer to $300. So it's a lot more expensive to go through an attorney. They also provide specific guidance though on like, you know, they can issue SPA and help you like fill out the application correctly. Well, they would fill it out for you. But so those are your options. There's a low cost option, which I believe in wholeheartedly because I think that it's just too much. It's a lot of money for someone starting a new business. yeah. And I am trying to put together a video. I have created the outline for it of how to file your own trademark application. And I think there are others that have already done that on YouTube. So you can find that. I will be doing it eventually, but I don't know exactly when. But those are your options. I hope that's helpful. It's possible to do it yourself. And if you decide to go the route with an attorney, you will have, you know, run into less issues, but it will be expensive. Mm. Oh, and it's USPTO.gov, by the way. That's the website. Yeah. And they actually have so many free resources, like how-tos and guides. And so if you go there and click on trademark, I really do recommend like filing your own. It just, you know, without knowing like specifics, it's hard to say, like there could be some area of concern, but yeah, searching is really important. And what another, I don't know if you want the link or just the name of it, but there is a function on the USPTO website called TESS, Trademark Electronic Search something system. TESS. So that's where if I were searching Startup Heartup, I would literally go there and I would type in Startup Heartup. I would type in startup one word, startup two word, like variations of it to see if anybody else has already filed, because that's one way to know that you're going to waste your money if you file an application, the fee's non-refundable, you can't get it back. If somebody has the identical mark, then at that point you don't want to file it.
Oh, wow. And I thought getting a .com domain was hard.
I know. The funny thing about trademarks, my advice for a small business owner just or like an early stage business is that you may not need to file a trademark registration at all. You can use the TM instead of the R, because the R with the circle, that's when it's registered. You can use the TM to sort of like lay a claim on it. But if somebody out there is already using it or using something very similar in the same industry as you, you may end up needing to change it later. But when I actually started this business, I wanted to first call it Idea Day, like having an idea every day kind of thing, Idea Day. And I was like so into Idea Day, blah, blah, blah. And then I ended up going with Startup Heartup. So like, you know, it's okay that I didn't get a trademark on that because I'm not using that anymore. And I see that happen with small business owners anyway. They like sort of evolve their image over time.
Absolutely. I just went through a little rebranding and yeah, had to figure out the domain and is it taken and what's this and change the Facebook business page name, which Facebook was the hardest. Like Twitter was like, no problem, done. Instagram, no problem, done. YouTube, done. Facebook would not let me. It took forever. I got it figured out. Everything is figure outable.
Yes. See, there's our girl Marie. See, I think we're like listening to all the same podcasts.
We are. All the powerhouse ladies out there.
Totally. Perfect. Oh my gosh. Love it.
Thank you so much, Kay, for all the wisdom and knowledge that you shared today. It was absolutely amazing.
Good. Thank you for having me. I had a blast and I'm so happy to share this. And
thank you for listening to the Create a Life You Love podcast. I would love to hear from you about your biggest takeaways. Share them with me on Facebook or Instagram at Create a Life You Love Coaching. If you love this podcast, be sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. It's very much appreciated. That's it for now. Enjoy the journey.